This morning, to start out, if you would please, go to the book of Romans, if you would. Book of Romans, we're going to go to chapter 11 and then go backwards. Romans chapter 11, one verse from that chapter. Just one verse I'd like for us to read, and it's the last one. Excuse me, close to the last, verse 33. Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out." This last week, I watched online. It was not live, but it was a message by a pastor with a wonderful ministry, but that ministry has been challenged in a most incredible way. You know, you sometimes wonder, Lord, why do you allow certain things to happen? And I watched him knowing that he must be going through great pain, incredible pain. I watched him preach on the grace of God in the time of battle. And I tell you, it brought tears because I know the heart that he has. Not only the heart for God, but the heart for pastors and the heart for His people. And it's at that time when you see that and you think of ministry and you think of what all this entails, especially in this day and age, and all the things that can take place. You see, you get to looking at that and you say, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Because Job went through what he went through. Jeremiah, who we looked at, went through what he went through. Why does God allow some things? I don't know. I don't know. But I do know this. We have a great God. The chapter before, Romans chapter 10, if you would just look at that. And go to verse 14. Paul, once again, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and let us never forget that, wrote this in Romans 10:14. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And that's not just the individual that stands behind the pulpit, but a forth teller. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. There was a teacher, Dr. Walter Fremont, at the college that my wife and I went to, and he was really something. That man had a walk with God that was wonderful. And he would read that verse, and he's sitting behind his desk, and all of a sudden he'd prop his feet up on the desk, and he had his shoes and his socks off. And he'd say, "These are beautiful feet." I honestly considered having everybody take their socks and their shoes off this morning and have us stand and look down at our feet and say, we're going to judge our feet this morning. Just how pretty are they when it comes to the gospel? But I thought, you know, I'm not sure how some of us maybe take care of our feet, how often you might wear the same pair of socks, you know, for the week. And so I just thought, well, that might be an interesting situation. I'm just kidding. But read verse 15 again. And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. That's what we're looking to do here. We have glad tidings to bring, as we're going to see. Folks, how beautiful are the feet at Faith Baptist? How are they being used to bring glad tidings of good things? Yeah, they just don't want to hear. I understand that. There's several of us that found that out yesterday. But you just keep going back and keep going back. And you talk and you share. And it's okay. Because it's up to the Lord. We bring it. We bring it. It's up to them how they respond. It's up to the Lord as far as the overall picture. What takes place? Go please 2 chapters back, if you would. I'm going to go to Romans chapter 8. And then we're going to get into the message. I love Romans 8. It is absolutely one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Look at verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Do you realize what God's design is for you? The image of his Son. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, what does it say? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, what is it? How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Someone has said, and it's debated who it was that said it, it doesn't matter, it's what was said. The future is as bright as the promises of God. The future is as bright as the promises of God. I've been just meditating and thinking and praying about, oh my soul, what, by God's grace, I want to see what happens. The future, whatever it is that God has us do, that we would have a passion for it. And we don't let the world stop us, because we stand in the line of those who spoke to the leadership in Israel 2 millennia ago. We ought to obey God rather than man. And that's not putting a chip on our shoulder and daring the world to knock it off. It is a joy to know that with God all things are possible. I became a believer 51 years ago. Grew up in a Christian home. Starting in 7th grade, went to a Christian high school, junior high and high school. Went to church. I mean, my dad, my Marine dad, we didn't have debate about going to church. We went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. My dad was deacon, usher, head usher, Sunday school superintendent, bus driver. He did it all. And when I was in 10th grade, he met with an evangelist by the name of Glenn Shunk that used to come to our church. And he said, I believe God's called me to preach. And Dad went out and he did it. And he did it in Marine Corps style. But he did it. Praise God for that. I remember coming here. We got here early in the week. It's just incredible how God worked on that. And at 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm sitting in my lazy boy over here in the parsonage, and it's like, Lord, how do we do this? And at 4 o'clock in the morning, that's when STEP came to mind, seeking to win the lost, teaching to change lives, equipping the saints for service, pressing for the prize. Have we always done that like I believe the Lord would have us do it? No. Do we still, by God's grace, seek to it? Yes. Why? Because we are surrounded in a world with people that don't know Christ. They either haven't heard of Him or they've rejected Him. They need to hear Him again. They need a preacher. They need people to share the gospel. They need soul winners. They need those that have a passion to get the gospel out. At the very least, to give a gospel tract, to give something at a door that can tell them. Somebody that will break out of their comfort zone and ask you, ask them, hey, if you died right now, where would you go? Now, you got to admit, it's a good question. And by the way, folks, it is a good question, isn't it? It's a good question. If you died right now, where would you go? I don't know. Oh, okay, that's great. Hey, good weather, isn't it? No, it's good to know. We go over there. Been looking at pictures. We go over there to the care facility where Bob Heyer is. We just got some pictures with Bob and his wife. We're much younger. And you know what they were doing? They were serving the Lord. Oh, how they have served the Lord. So much here. Do you know that Kathy is one of the founders of Victory Christian School? One of the founders. I didn't know that they had, you know, Christian schools during the Civil War. It was amazing to me. I just praise God, you know, to know that, to understand that. Go to Matthew 6, would you? Go to Matthew 6. Recently we spoke on, I looked at this, we looked at this passage. Look at Matthew 6, look at verse 31. Catching our Lord and Savior in mid-thought, we read this. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Look at the next phrase. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You know, as I look at that, and again, we looked at this not too long ago. I can't remember what service. I didn't look up the service. But I just, you know, I got to thinking. You know, how well have we done this? How much have I preached this? Again, you know, going back, and everybody here could give a testimony on how the Lord has dealt with them. I could go back to the spot where God worked with me on Alhambra Valley Boulevard in Martinez. And where we were when the Lord spoke to me about being in a Christian school, teaching in a Christian school. And not really tying it to this. But you recognize, you know, it just starts to grow on you, and then maybe you get away from it, but then praise God, God brings you back, and it happens over and over and over. There's times I think, Lord, I'm 64 years old. Haven't I really learned some of these things? And Lord says, no, you haven't. That's why I got to keep working on you. Yeah, seriously. It never quits, but that's why we read the Scripture. And so time after time after time, we read, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. Don't make the focus the car or the retirement or the job or whatever. Praise God, we're wise in what God gives us, but the numero uno, the number one focus, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. That's what we do. That's what we do. Oh, that we could see that right now, if we could just see that as the privilege that it is. I want to talk to you about the privileges that we have as Christians. Go to Ephesians chapter 3 if you would. I want to show you first of all, just quickly, the privilege of proclamation. God didn't give it to angels. He didn't write it in the sky. He gave the opportunity to share the gospel to those that have received the blessings of the gospel. Those of us who have been born again, bought by the blood of the Lamb. Are you saved this morning? Say amen. If you're saved and you know it, say amen. Now some of you are going to be singing that song the rest of the time that I'm preaching up here. If you're saved and you're glad you are, say amen. Now see, the reason why I'm doing this is this. Those of you, if you were at the Master's Men's meeting, I mean, Mike Schrock got up there and we had a workout. I mean, if we didn't have it at 90 decibels, he was asking for more. He was just up there big time. But the privilege of proclamation, look at Ephesians 3, please go through, walk with me through this. Verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. There's something he's learning. As it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles, that's us, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, listen to his attitude, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Every time you give a gospel tract out, it has something in it that absolutely has no value in the world except with Christ, died, crucified, risen again. But the point I'm trying to make is this. They don't give it the value. But we recognize that it is absolutely limitless. It's unsearchable. Jesus Christ came, died, rose again. Praise God. He has given us salvation. He calls it the unsearchable riches of Christ. We cannot, in our finite minds, be here on this earth and figure it all out. We don't know. Lord, why did you allow it to happen? I don't know this, but I do know this. He came. He lived. He died. He rose again. And he has given me salvation. And as of January 14th, 1967, I am his and he is mine. And you can have the same thing. And I praise God that most of you, if not all of you, have it. Glory for that. But it is absolutely unsearchable. When we have the privilege of proclamation, we are talking about something that the value is beyond anything that mankind can give it. Secondly, there's the privilege of prayer. The privilege of prayer. Hebrews chapter 7. Please listen to this carefully. Listen to this. Wherefore, this is verse 25, Hebrews 7. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Do you recognize that? Right now, Jesus in heaven is interceding for you. He's interceding. I mean, we think of that verse, and we're going to be going to it later on. If God be for us, who can be against us? I mean, our Lord and Savior is occupying His time continuously at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and for me. And we have the opportunity to do the same thing. Now, I'm telling you, if that doesn't stir your heart, something's wrong. Because we've got people out there that are trying to figure out, what can we do with this society? I praise God that the governor of Texas got it right. He said, the problem is not guns, it's hearts without God. Wish our governor would say that. Hey, let's pray that he comes to know that. Let's pray that he comes to know that. But the point is, when it comes to prayer, prayer is the principal thing that Jesus Christ is doing right now. Romans 8:34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. I want you to go to 1 John 3. We looked at this. 1 John 3. We looked at this last Wednesday night. This is one of the most important verses when it comes to prayer. Look at verse 20. We're going to start there. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Watch this, please. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Now watch this. Keep His commandments. Do those things that are pleasing in His sight. How many of you want your prayers answered? Amen? This is what you do. Number one, keep His commandments. Look at verse 23. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. Think about this. But then also doing those things that are pleasing in His sight. You know, I think it's interesting. And again, we talked about this on Wednesday night. But it's kind of interesting. People, you know, will bring up something that isn't spelled out specifically in the Bible. Well, the Bible doesn't say anything about thou shalt not smoke. Thou shalt not go to the movies. Thou shalt, you know, and you can name all kinds of things about music, you know, relationships, the whole bit. Folks, can we just settle down to this? I knew it. He's preaching against smoking. Well, number one, I don't think you ought to. Yeah, but, no, listen. How about if we get before the Lord and we say, Lord, whatever pleases You, would You reveal that to my heart? And Lord, while You're revealing it, as I'm reading through Your Word, help me, Lord, to grasp the principles of living that are there, that I can learn by and get that. Lord, help me to do just that. How many of you want to have your prayers answered? All right. Keep His commandments. Do those things that are pleasing in His sight. He spells it out very well. Yeah, but there's people that are really hard to love. Yeah, and you're probably one of them. I know I can be at times. How do I know that? My wife has secretly let me know at times. So, you know, just... But you know, hey. While we were yet decent people, Christ died for us. While we were yet... What's a sinner? A sinner is one that goes against God, that where God says, don't do this, and we say, I'm going to do it anyway. And we keep on, and we keep on, and we keep on, and we keep on. That's what a sinner is. One who has turned his face against God, who has shaken his fist in the face of God. And God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Listen, we need to ask ourselves, are we doing those things that are pleasing in His sight, not to mention the commandments? Let us move on. Next, we have the privilege of people. John 15:12, this is My commandment, that ye love one another, again, as I have loved you. Paul was an incredible preacher. He had an incredible attitude. Because he was called to preach. to the Gentile. And there were people that when he was in prison, said, aha, now's my chance. Listen to how he acted. Philippians 1, verse 15. Some indeed preach even of Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. Hey, praise God. And I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. That was Paul. He saw the privilege of giving the gospel to people and loving them. He did say later on, the more I love, the less I be loved. But he still loved. Next, the privilege of his presence. Man's best, happiest, and most satisfying context is in the presence of God. Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Think about it. There's a man by the name of A.J. Gordon. He told about this, and he wrote it in a little book. He said, one night, I had a dream. He says, I get up, and I'm in the pulpit, and while I'm getting up and I'm getting ready to preach, one of the ushers brings in a very fine-looking gentleman, looking very well, and sits him towards the front there at the very end. And he says, while I'm preaching, I keep looking at this man, wondering who he is. So after the service, I asked the usher, who was that gentleman that you brought in? And the usher said, well, that was Jesus Christ. Didn't you know? He came to the service this morning. A.J. Gordon said he woke up. And he was just like, wow. The next Sunday, people said he came in with a new passion. Why? Because he knew Jesus was there. He's here. If you don't believe Jesus Christ is here, that's maybe why you have some of the attitude that you have towards His Word, towards His people. Surely the Lord is busy elsewhere. No. My Lord knows no boundaries. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I. Where? I want you to stop and I want you to think about this. For the rest of the service, while you're hearing the Word of God preached, glance over at this chair and think about the fact that He is here. He's here. What a difference it makes. There's not only the privilege of His presence, there's the privilege of His power. Matthew 28:18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Think about it. The only thing that set the 12 disciples apart from everyone else was the calling of Jesus. They were not more gifted than others. They weren't richer. They weren't more talented. Anything else. They were simply chosen. And all they would need, the help, the protection, the guidance, the word, and the works for the ministry, would be through the power given to them by Christ in the Holy Spirit. Think about that. The Greek word that translates their power, exousia, it means authority. Our God has all authority. There is no authority over Satan that Satan has over Jesus. There is no authority that this world system has over Jesus. Now, you know, the fact of the matter is, we gotta do a little bit of a timeout. Lord, I'm trying to doing my best. We have to understand something. When we have been out in the world, especially if you haven't been in your Bible during the week, if you have been out in the world, you come in here, especially if you're just here for the morning service, you come in here and the Word of God and the God of the Word and the Holy Spirit goes to battle against all the things that the world has fed into your mind during the week. And the fact of the matter is, there are little nuances, there are situations here and there been given in your mind that, you know what, it's hopeless. You might as well go with the flow. You know, it's never going to stop. By the way, it is going to stop. Amen. One of these days, my God, my Lord and Savior is going to come thundering down through that sky, and I'm telling you, the world will never be the same. It will absolutely never be the same. But we'll be talking about that in just a moment. But there is the privilege of all this. Not only His presence, but His power. I was going to bring up, and I didn't, I forgot to bring it. I was going to bring a postcard. You know, you can put a little message, you know, "Dear son, I miss your face. Love, Dad." And I put my son's address on it going up to Grants Pass, Oregon. And so I put the address on it and I sign it on the back. And you know where that card is going? Nowhere. Until I put a stamp from the United States government on there. And when I put that stamp on, the power of the U.S. government goes into action and they will do what they must do to take that card and place it at my son's address in the days ahead. This message that we preach has no power unless the Holy Spirit is there and Christ has given it the power, and He has! That's the privilege of power, not ours. You think of the individual, you think of individuals that you're seeking by God's grace to reach. If it's in His power, it's being done. Something is happening. God does not waste His time. Two more. The privilege of pain. That's a privilege? Yes. Don't forget the desire of Paul when he said in Philippians 3:10 that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. Boy, we just read this. We just finished up the book of Job this last week. You remember when Job said this? I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. I wrote on Facebook, "Dear Lord, I pray my pain take me this far, to the point where I see Him. Otherwise, we're going to be in here and we're not going to see His presence. We're not going to understand the purpose of Him being having us here." This is a privilege. And sometimes when we go through the pain, it's a privilege to that we find out that we have these things in our lives that need to leave. My God has shown me something in my life this last week. Has your God shown you anything in your life this last week? I mean in the pain. God put His finger on one thing in my life. There are three major things that my God has done to me this year alone. Three. And that was one of the, that's the third one just this year. Put His finger right on it. And boy, because of the pain, was I listening? See, sometimes God has to give us the pain because we don't see Him here. And in fact, when you get in your car, He's just not there. You get home, He's not there. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. He is everywhere. He is everywhere. Lastly, I want you to see this. We've looked at some of the privileges that we have as believers. Listen to this one. We have the privilege of prophecy. We know how it's going to end. I want you to go to the book of the Revelation. We are walking on hallowed ground, folks. This is not just something where we look and go, wow, man, that's right. No. What we're looking at, there will be billions that will be there. On both sides, there will be billions. And what takes place sets in motion the destiny of those billions for all eternity. Revelation 20, verse 11. We have the privilege of prophecy. We know how it's going to end. And I saw a great white throne. This is holy ground, folks. This is destiny for people that you and I have known. And Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. There's a group there. And I saw the dead, small and great. There's going to be the billions we've never heard of, but there's going to be others that we have. Unless they got saved, Robin Williams is going to be there. Breaks my heart. Steve Jobs, same thing. Umpteen presidents of the United States of America, they'll be there. You can't pop a sham off on God. Well, I was a great man. No. The small and the great are going to be there. Stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. Let me ask you something. Is your name written in the book of life? Well, I've been a good guy. No. That doesn't matter. Is it written there? And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. You realize this? There are people that are in hell right now. And one day, they're going to be released. And maybe, I don't know, but maybe they think, well, praise, wow, we've been reprieved. And all of a sudden, they find themselves standing before the judge of the universe. Verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. We have the privilege of prophecy. We can look at any given person and we can say, we can think in our minds and we can tell them, based on what you have done with the person and work of Jesus Christ, I know where you're going to end. It's not because I'm so smart, but my God has been so merciful. He has shown me. He has shown us all what's going to happen. I am fearful. There are relatives that I have that are going to be in verse 15. But you know what I praise God for? There's also relatives and friends that I have, friends that are right here in this church. They're going to be in chapter 21 as well, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them. They shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears. I mean, there you can stop right there and shout.
Amen.
I'm so glad. You know, it's going to be a joy someday to get to a place where you can lay that burden down and you'll never pick it up. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. That is the privilege of prophecy. We know what's coming. And because of the privilege of prophecy, we can endure the privilege of pain, the privilege of preaching. We can go through the privilege of praying. We can go through these things because God has told us how it's going to end. And the poorest man that might not even know all that much how to read can look at the most intelligent man and say, I do know this. You need Christ. You need Christ. In conclusion, it's easy to get off message. Get off kilter, if you will. It's so easy. Ministry can slowly drift to being a burden. It's not a privilege, it's a burden. Oh, it's something that I've got to do. No, it's not something that you've got to do. There are millions of people, even today, that suffer under persecution because they have a passion to do it. This privilege is not a burden. It's a privilege. And whatever and however God takes any and all of us, whatever He does with me, whatever He does with you, He does on purpose because He loves us. And we have that message and He has put His stamp on it. And He's with us every step of the way. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. No wonder we are challenged with Romans 12. May we never forget this privilege that is ours. Romans 12, 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, which takes place time and again as we get together here, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Lord, I want to be in the limelight. God says, no, that's not what you need. I need you right where you are, right where I've put you. That's why when we were at Master's Men, I said to the people, and I'm not saying this, you know, the Goodmans moved to Idaho, praise God, that's fine, no problem. But I told, you know, in being able to say what I said for Awake America, the answer is not in Idaho. If God has called us here to California, the answer is here. Because there might be an escape, but here it's a privilege. And I pray by God's grace, you see, because that verse, Romans 12, 1, without us coming to that verse and embracing it, there is no more Faith Baptist Tabernacle. If we do not have that attitude, if we have not renewed our minds, there is no more local church, not here, not on these grounds, because we don't have anything to do. Because what we do it in the form of a servant. We give ourselves not to the pastor, we give ourselves to Him. And we allow Him to work through us. And that's why this place was founded in the beginning by Pastor Clyde White. And that's why by God's grace it ought to continue. Because if Jesus Christ is still on the throne and the Holy Spirit is still calling people and our God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is here, is also at the right side of the Father interceding for us, then we have ministry to do. Amen?
Amen?
Heavenly Father, I pray that you would guide, Lord, as we reflect with every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking about.